Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message from our visiting guest ministry will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Let's just give Jesus a big just cheer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Turn to someone next to you and say, today's a wild day. Turn to someone next to you and say, you're going to encounter Jesus today. Turn to someone next to you and say, no, I'm going to encounter Jesus today. I have not come to deliver a message. I feel like I've come on an assignment today. And I believe that today there will be a stake in the ground, that this would be a presence-centered church. Turn to someone next to you and say, amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen. Wow. And why don't you look at the carpet, look down at the carpet and say, carpet, we're going to be friends today. Yay! I'm unapologetically in love with Jesus. I'm head over heels. I'm fully drenched. I'm not ankle deep, knee deep. I am drowned in the Spirit, in love with the man. I love Jesus with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all my strength. And if you do too, just give me a little shout if you can. Oh, wow. Oh, you can sit wherever you are, or you can go to a seat, or whatever you feel led. It's gonna be a wilder service. Just can we thank that worship team? They're amazing. Oh, good job. Well done. Well done. Well, we've had an amazing 2 days. The last 2 days. Just fire. If this is our first time meeting, would you just give me a little wave? If it's our first time meeting, fresh meat, I love it. It's such a privilege to meet you. I'm Richard, I'm from Bethel Church in Redding, California, originally from South Africa. Like Raf said, I'm part of the senior leadership team at our church with Bill Johnson and Chris Valentin. And it is such an honor and a privilege to be here with you. This is my first time in Australia, and this is possibly the most beautiful city I've ever been in. And so turn to someone next to you and say, you're living in paradise. Living in paradise. I'll tell you what I want to do today is I want to share for a little bit, and then I want to invite people up to be filled with the power of God. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto all who believe, unto salvation, all who believe. And so turn to someone next to you and say, if it gets crazy, I'm not ashamed. Let's do a little survey in the room. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands if you've ever encountered God your body's trembled, your eyes have watered, you've been laying out for 7 days or 7 seconds, you saw something in your mind's eye that you've never seen before, but the same result is true. You got up and you were different. If that's ever happened to you, I want you to raise your hand and keep it high, okay? Keep it high and just look around the room. Either we're all crazy, either we are stark raving mad, or this whole thing is real.
Yeah, come on.
Keep your hands up, just raise your hands again. If there was, either all these people have lost their minds, or it's possible for man to meet his maker. And let me tell you, when you meet your maker, when you meet the Christ, he will transform who you are. Turn to someone next to you and say, you need a touch from Jesus. The charismatics get hung up on a manifestation often, and they miss the Christ. And the conservatives get nervous of a manifestation, and they miss the Christ. Can we just be in agreement that we don't want to just play church games? We want Jesus today. We want Jesus to be the stumbling stone and the cornerstone. I'm worried about some of you. I'm worried about some of you. I grew up in Durban, South Africa. Yay! No way! Look at that. You and me. We should hang out afterwards. And I never imagined that I'd be in Australia talking about the Holy Spirit. I got saved in a 104-year-old conservative church, and now I'm the crazy one that sees people filled with the Holy Ghost. The first time I walked into a church, I had a big orange mohawk, and I stood at the back, and as they were worshiping, something jumped inside of me. I hadn't heard the gospel, but at the sound of the saints praising Jesus, I knew this thing had to be real. I no longer have dreadlocks, a mohawk, but I've gone a little crazier. And I have continued to be just wildly crazy for Jesus. And the miracle that would follow my life most, I would say that people would be filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time, or in a unique way. If you were here in the last 2 days and you had a significant encounter with Jesus as we gathered and we worshiped him, would you just stand to your feet as quickly as you can? Look around the room. This is a testimony that God wants to do it again. So turn to someone near you and say, I'm nervous for you. Nervous for you. If you're part of the leadership team at Pneuma Church, I would love if you stood very quickly. If you're part of the leadership team at Pneuma Church, why don't you stand? And then if you're part of the board and you're here, why don't you stand very quickly too? I just want to say, and then if you're part of the staff team, why don't you stand very quickly too? All the people that said, just keep standing. I just want to honor you guys. I love this place. I'm obsessed with this place. This is an awesome church. I love what God's doing here. And what you guys are doing is incredible. And you are stewarding a move of God in the midst of difficult times. And I am just beyond proud of you. As a church leader in a big movement, it is just, I sit with this team and you guys are incredible. And I'm just blown away by the character, by the passion, and by the fervor that you guys are with. If I'm proud, I can only imagine how the Lord is. I can only imagine how proud God is that he looks at your hearts and is like, these are pure, pure hearts. Church, in a moment, I'm going to get you to celebrate these people. And this, keep standing. No, keep standing. I know you're 80, but please. They are, they're 79. And they just planted a church. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's says in the Bible, if you honor your mother and father, it'll go well with you and you'll live long in the land. Honor in the world is for the people that you honor, the Justin Bieber or whatever. But in the kingdom, honor is actually for you too. Turn to someone next to you and say, you should be the most honoring person in every room you walk into. So if you honor a mother and father, and in this context, it would be a leadership and oversight, it'll go well with you and you'll live long in the land. So in a moment, I'm going to get the church to go crazy, berserk, wild, raise your voices, go loud. And it's going to feel so natural, but it's going to be so supernatural because a flow in the spirit of favor and longevity will come on you as you celebrate. These guys have been going through it and they are crushing. And so when I count to three, church, I want you to go absolutely crazy. One, two, Numa, and three. Can you go crazy for us? Take a seat. Oh man. Pentecost Sunday. I want to talk a little bit about weakness and on Pentecost Sunday. And then we're going to pray for people in their weakness and God's going to mark them. Often, I'll tell you a little of my story. I grew up very poor. The first time I went to a restaurant, I was 14 years old. I remember going with my friend to a restaurant. I'd never gone before. My dad gave me the equivalent of $10. And he said, whatever your friend orders, you order too. And I was so nervous. I put on my best clothes. I had one name brand piece of clothing. I think it was Billabong back then. And I had one pair of nice shorts. And I remember dressing up in my clothes. And I remember getting so nervous going to this restaurant. And my friend went and he ordered something. But it was more than $10 on the menu. So now I'm stressing. But I ordered the same thing as my friend. And it came, and luckily they paid. But I just grew up as not in a home of trauma. In my house, we never had a working bathroom in my house. So we'd pour water down the toilet with a bucket. And we never had working plumbing in my house, so we would wash dishes in a bowl of water that we would replace once a day. And I remember in my cupboard, every dish would have a film of grease on it. And I grew up not knowing if I was loved. And you know, everyone has a story. Yeah. It's not the size of the gun that shot you, but you've been shot. And, you know, your story, you may have a shotgun, I may have a pistol of a story, but still you were shot. And I remember growing up just feeling so insignificant and so small at the age of 8, struggled with suicide all the way to the age of 18. But don't you love that God loves to take broken things? Yeah. Broken things. And out of ashes, he makes beauty. Aren't you just so glad? Aren't you just so glad that God will choose the broken things and in the places of weakness? And what I used to do as a minister, if I'm very honest, I've got some amazing stories. I've got these crazy stories of the miraculous and the power of God coming. And it's like wild. And what I would do is I'd so often just rely on all of my strength. And I project the strong man, the strong, powerful person. Because in the world, if you project strength, you're seen as a leader, you're seen as someone. But in the church, what we often do as ministers, if we only project strength from the platform, we create an insecure community because they never are open or okay to talk about what's actually going on. And I found, and it's so crazy, but I found that as I started to embrace my humanity, I started to discover his divinity.
Wow.
And I started to experience more of the power of God as I owned the fullness of my story. I remember the first encounter I had at Bethel. I thought it was going to heal my leadership wounds, where there was a church leader that squished me, crushed me because I was too wild. Have you ever felt too wild for the church? There's some of you out there. And that was me, and they squashed me, crushed me, and I was so broken, and I thought he was going to heal me of that. But I was in depression, sitting in Reading as my wife was going to BSSM, my School of Supernatural Ministry. And what ended up happening is I fall asleep and I go into an encounter. And in this encounter, I'm at the bottom of my stairs in my house. And the Lord says, I'm going to show you something. And right there is a three-story high angel next to me. And I'm like, what? I can't believe I'm sharing this story, but here we go. And the Lord says, look over to your right. And I start to look over to my right, and I start to see all these memories of when I was younger, where I experienced abuse. And all these memories when I was younger that I experienced this abuse. And I remember saying to myself, when I was 8, I told myself I would never tell anyone for the rest of my days. This I would take to the grave. I even convinced myself it never happened. And now I'm sitting at 29 years old, and I am talking, and God is showing me in a dream these things, and I'm feeling terrible. And I turn back to the angel in the dream, and God, and the angel says to me, look again and you'll find Jesus. And I'd never heard of Sozo before. I'd never done one. And so I look at these, I look again in the dream, and I can't find Jesus anywhere. I can't find him in any of these memories, and they're recurring. These are the ones that have haunted me. These are the ones that I try to suppress and tell myself they never happened and hide them for the rest of my days. And I turned back to the angel almost in frustration, and instead of seeing the angel, I saw the face of Jesus. And his face was brilliant and bright. And I'd heard of people that have seen Jesus before, but I never thought I'd be one. And I saw his face, and it was like white, and his eyes were even whiter and brighter. And he looked at me, and he didn't speak with his lips, but he spoke with his heart. And he said, Richard, is finished. And inside of me, in my cognitive 29-year-old educated mind, I was like, no, it can't be. For 20 years, I have wrestled with anxiety, trying to push this down. And then he said again, it is finished. And I woke up in a cold sweat. And I went to my wife, it was her birthday, and I asked her, what do you want to do on your birthday? And she said to me, I want you to go to a men's meeting. I said, no. Please don't send me to a church meeting. Oh, those places, they hurt me sometimes. Especially a men's meeting, it's like, hur, 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 hur. Oh, no, no, lead your home, lead your home, lead your home. I'm like, no, please don't send me there. You know what I'm talking about. And I get to this, and I'm like, I'm reluctant, and I get there. And there's a preacher by the name of Jason Valentin. And he gets up and he starts to share his story about when he was abused when he was 8 years old. And he came to his dad, and Chris Valentin, and he said to him, hey, this happened. And Chris said, that's not who you are. And then Jason started to, almost the same story as me. And then he started to share, there's some people here, the enemy has told you that there's something that's happened to you, and you'll have to keep that until you go to the grave. And that very thing has become the lid in which you're able to lead to. And it's the lid in which you're able to come to. And it's the lid that's blocking you from the next phase of leadership, the next phase of your life, the next phase. And I'm literally sitting there, he's reading my mail. And then he does the craziest thing ever. He says, there's people here that have never shared any these things in their lives before, and you've sitting and you've been hiding it for years and years and years. And he says, I want you to get up and I want you to share it with the person next to you, the deepest, darkest thing you've never shared with anyone. And I said, no way. Which leads me to my next activation. I'm just joking. I'm joking. There was such silence. You really thought I was going to do it. You guys don't know me, do you? That's our first dates. Don't worry. But he actually does it. And these people start turning around and start to share what they've never shared before. And I'm a seer in the spirit. And I see these waves of power start entering the room. It's almost like these waves just poof, poof, poof. And then he goes another level. And he says, okay, some of you have got to come on the stage and do it. I'm like, this guy's crazy. Which leads me to my next activation. There we go, it's a joke. There we go, you laughed. But some of you still a little nervous. And I'll never forget it. This kid, he runs up on stage and he starts to share. And he said at the age of 14, he had an immoral relationship with a boy. It's wrecked him for the rest of his days. He feels insecure in front of women and insecure in front of men. And I remember sitting in the crowd thinking, this is social suicide. This guy is going to be written off for the rest of his days. And I watched as a room of 600 men jumped on their chairs and they started screaming and cheering him and going, yeah, I'm so proud of you, God. And I never knew a world. I never knew a world, a church, a community that embraced vulnerability and saw it as a weapon against the enemy.
Come on.
I'd never seen it before. I came from a community that projected strength to show that we were moving forward. But there was a people that were celebrating people in their weakness. I was too nervous that day to share, but I went to my wife the next morning, trembling, thinking she would reject me. And I went to her and I sat in the car and I sat with her in my gold 2002 Honda Accord. And I started to share with her for the first time in 20 years, the first time that I'd shared with anyone what had happened to me as a young child. And I started to share, I covered my face because of the shame that I carried and I wept through the entire thing. And afterwards, I thought she was going to reject me. I believed some lie that I was disgusting. And she turned to me and said, Rich, today is the bravest day you've ever had. And this is the best I've ever seen you. And I'm more proud of you today than any day of our entire marriage. And she said, what you've done today has absolutely set our children up for a future without any of that in it. You have been the bravest, wildest man. And I was so shocked that she would respond like that. And she even told me later, if it wasn't for being within this Bethel culture, this church that we have that just really just pursues a people that will live totally authentically, embracing humanity to see divinity. She said she may have not responded like that. I'm just so thankful that God healed me. What I found is when I started embracing all of my story, I started to discover more power. It was so like an anomaly to me. It was so like, but in the scriptures in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 10, Paul says this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. And I started realizing my whole life I've been running from my weakness. My whole life I've been running from the things that I thought disqualified me. the pieces in my story that I thought were the things that would disqualify me, where that's the thing that Jesus died
for. Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing he went to the grave for.
Yeah.
That's, he didn't come to the grave and die on the cross so he could get my gifts, my strength, my gift, my communication gift, my preaching gift, my business gift. He died on the cross so I would bring my filthy rags to him. And I was hiding the most precious of gift from him. I was hiding his gold and his silver, the very thing he died for. And I was trading straw. I was giving him straw. I was giving him just my strength. And he wanted my brokenness. Turn to someone next to you and say, if you hold back your weakness, you'll never discover his power. And the wise men followed a star, and they were closer and closer, and they discovered this baby in a manger. But the story was, Mary and Joseph were walking. The very God himself was going to be born on the earth. Emmanuel with us. The plan, the scriptures were so detailed to the T. Every prophecy, every genealogy, everything was so detailed. But when Mary and Joseph get to the inn, there's no room. Did you make a mistake, God? What happened? Everything was so detailed. Surely for a king, there would be a space.
Yeah.
Was there a mistake? Did Joseph miss it? Did Mary miss it? Was this plan B? And in a manger, in a messy place, the Savior is born. In a messy, broken place where animals would be, not man. The Savior is born. And I asked the Lord, was this a mistake? What happened? And the Lord spoke to me so clearly. He said, no mistake was made. I chose to be born in unprepared places. As a prophetic sign that he could be born again in an unprepared place, in a messy stable, in a messy, broken, suicidal, abused young kid. Turn to someone next to you and say, there's a manger in you. You start to realize, oh, it's always been the plan. That he would be born in a messy place. And you start realizing, oh, do I need to be embarrassed of my weakness? Or is it not a doorway to his power? Is it not a doorway to the power of God? But the religious spirit says, let's distance ourselves because our reputation will be tainted. Ooh. My goodness. When they invited me to come to this church, I got an email saying, hey, I totally understand if you want to take a little bit of time, maybe come a little bit later in the year. I said, no, this is when I come. This is the time. This is when you draw near. It's in a time like this that God's power gets put on display. In a weak place, his power is made perfect. Turn to someone next to you and say, you're primed for revival. That's good news. That's good news right here. It was early in the morning. The women were praying. Jesus had been crucified. Actually, he'd been executed. Everyone had deserted, but still the women would pray. And there was this woman, Mary, and she went down to the tomb to pray. Everyone else, they'd left, but she was consistent. And she got there and the air was thin, still with the stench of death. And there was a stone, but the stone was rolled away.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, you still roll stones today.
Yeah.
And there were these two pillars of light, these two angelic beings. And they asked the woman, woman, why are you worried? And she said, where's my Savior? Where have they taken him? Where have they taken him? And they turn to him and they say, woman, the man you're looking for, he has risen. He's risen. You know what I love about this? Is the first person to hear the story of the resurrection is a woman. A broken Mary Magdalene who came from a prostitute background, who had seven demons, and who was a woman in a man's world. Wow. She was the worst marketing plan ever. Worst. Terrible marketing plan. God, surely you would have chosen the elite of the elite, the most prestigious of the prestige. Surely you would have chosen someone with the best reputation to carry the greatest story ever told. Surely. Surely, God, you would have had the best marketing strategy and Instagram posts set up. Surely you would have had the PR perfect with the perfect copyright and the perfect post and covering every single, like, surely, Jesus. Surely. Oh, no. And he chose a woman from a prostitute background, seven demons. The world probably weren't going to trust her. The spiritual community were a little nervous of her spiritual background. And she was a woman in a man's world where the men would lead, but the women weren't. But God chose her. Turn to someone next to you and say, God chose you. Isn't that good news?
That's right.
She goes into a garden and she sees a gardener and she says, have you seen my king? Have you seen this Jesus? And the gardener turns to her and he says, Mary, it's me. Wow. And in an ordinary place, through an ordinary face, the Christ is revealed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, this makes no sense. This is the biggest moment in Christendom, the revealing of the risen Christ.
Yeah.
How can this be? How would this be? But he loves to do it in ordinary spaces.
That's it.
With an insecure, confused young woman that was a prostitute, full of seven demons. In our weakness, his power is made perfect. Aren't you glad about our Jesus? On the cross, he's there. Beaten beyond recognition, naked, bruised, in his most vulnerable of states. In the most vulnerable states, the Christ is. Everyone deserted him, hurling insults at him, broken and bruised.
Yeah.
In his weakest moments was the display of his greatest power.
Yeah.
I'm like, this, you can't make this stuff up. It's like, God. Born in a manger? Your highest moment is dying, broken on a cross. It's like he's trying to tell us something.
Come on.
Bring me your rags.
Yes.
Bring me the mess. That's what I died for.
Yeah.
Why are you hiding it?
Come on.
My power is made perfect in weakness. Yes. Embrace your humanity. Embrace your humanity. Because I want to display my divinity. Why are you holding back on me? Why are you holding back on me? I was with the movie producer and he was asking me about my story. I started to tell him all the high moments, my crazy encounter where I was out in the Holy Spirit for 7 days, angels visiting me, speaking out in tongues, where I'd see miracles day after day after that 7-day encounter, where I got a heavenly download of an algorithm that got me to write a book that sent me around the world, and I met with dignitaries and head of armies and head of defense forces and got me before all these dignitaries, and he said, that's not the story. I said, no, surely that's the story. He said, take me back. Take me back to how you got there. And I started to tell him about this broken little kid that struggled with suicide, never thought that he'd have friends, never thought he was going to be a leader. And he looked at me in the eyes, this movie producer said, that's the story.
Yeah.
And I was like, without your weakness, the display of God, the display of the greatness could possibly point to you. But in our weakness, God's power is made perfect. Isn't that gorgeous? I look at this church and I'm saying, this place is prime for a revival. This place is prime for a move of the Spirit. This place is prime for a mighty wind to hit it. And this leadership team is prime for an infilling of the fire of God. Oh, man. If you would say to me, Rich, I don't think I've got my whole life together just yet. I'm still working through a few things. Maybe I've got a father wound. My finances aren't perfect, this, that. Yeah. I just haven't got my whole life together. If that would be you, just give me a little hand. Just raise your hand. And just look around if you can. You know, you're in good company. You're in good company. And if you had your hand raised up, or if you realize you don't have it all together, you're perfect for a move of God. You're a manger waiting for the Christ to be born. And in a manger of a place, that's where a son is given and a child is born and the mighty counselor. That's where God would be. Even the upper room. You look at Jesus's ministry. Jesus's ministry was so good, it left 120 people following him. If God was about numbers, this would be an absolute failure. If it was about Instagram followers, this would be an absolute failure. If it was about bottom line and profit, it would be an absolute failure. 120 still following after Jesus, the Lord himself, walked the earth for 3 years.
Come on.
God doesn't look at Instagram followers, or God doesn't look at size of your bank account and your title. He doesn't look at all the accomplishments. He looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. He's looking across the world, looking for a Noah's heart, saying, where is a pure heart in which I can land upon so that I could build an ark, a place of the presence? Where is that pure heart that I can land upon? And I would say that pure heart is not found in pride, but found in humility, where a heart is so contrite and so open-handed to be like, oh, Jesus, whatever you will. Whatever you will. My gifts are not enough. My strength is not enough. But God, if you would breathe upon me and my family, God, I would just give it all to you, God. Don't you love Jesus? He's just so counterculture to the world. And in an upper room, 120 people gather. And you could tell the story that these were the fiery ones, that these were the rabid ones. They were just tarrying, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. These were scared people, locking themselves up in fear that they would be executed just like their leader. And they were nervous, trembling, just hoping on a faith that something was going to happen. And they waited there, 120 of them, in insecurity and in pain. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And this motley crew of 120 that were left ushered in the greatest revival ever to touch the world.
Yeah.
A revival that spread throughout all of humanity and the ages.
Yeah.
It wasn't a display of great strength. It was a display of weakness so that God's power could be put on display.
Yeah.
And when it fell on men, it fell on women, it fell on children, it fell on different ethnicities, on different educational backgrounds, on different classes or financial standings. The Holy Spirit was no discriminator. He fell not on the best, he fell on all.
Wow.
All.
Wow.
All. Turn to someone next to you, and that's you. Say, that's you. That's you. Do you know, before the day of Pentecost, the people that counted numbers would only count men. They would only count men when they would count about the followers of Jesus. After the day of Pentecost, women and children are counted too. The Holy Spirit changed the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But from a place of weakness, his power is made perfect. Isn't that gorgeous? Aren't you just thankful for Jesus?
Yeah.
You may be like me. I remember I was in Hawaii, I was doing a men's meeting. I asked the whole room, if you have something that you've said, I'll take to the grave. I'll never tell anyone, this is my broken piece. No one will know, not even my wife, no one. Take it to the grave. I said, I'm not gonna get your eyes, I want everyone's eyes closed, and I got them to lift their hands if it was them. Every single man in the room lifted their hands. I said, keep your eyes closed, I want you to know every single one of you have your hands raised right now. All of you think you're alone. All of you think you're alone. All of you think, and the enemy would try to tell you, you're alone. And it's the same tactic and same trick. But all around you, the entire room, every single hand is up. And I said, my challenge to you is by the end of this week that you would share that thing you've never ever shared with anyone, so that God, in your weakness, God's power could be made perfect. Yeah. And your legacy of your family would be changed forever, like my legacy of my family's been. And story after story. I remember this guy is the wealthiest man I know. His net worth is $300 million. He opened up for the first time that afternoon to his son and to his wife. And he came to me weeping. And he said, my whole family legacy has changed. One of the most successful men you've ever known. Turn to someone next to you and say, ooh, it's getting real. I thought he was the crazy wild guy. This is my doorway to power. The rumor that follows my life is the wildest meeting I've ever been in. People got miraculously healed, weeping. I've never had an encounter like that in my life before. Let me tell you one of my secrets. In my weakness, His power is made perfect. When I started embracing the fullness of my story, the fullness of my humanity, the level of miracles went to a whole nother level. People started getting out of wheelchairs. People started getting healed of incurable diseases. I started to see a mass, like, outpouring of the Holy Spirit with children, with people. And I started to think, God, why had I been holding back on you for all my life? Turn to someone next to you and say, you need to get touched by God. Are you okay if I go another 10 minutes?
Yeah.
I really feel I did not come to preach a message, but I came on assignment to inject truth into the atmosphere and to put a stamp in the ground that this would be a place of the presence, a lampstand of the presence that would resonate across Australia.
Yeah.
I want you to know, in Bethel Church, we speak about you guys. We speak about what God is doing here. We speak about what the move of God and your leadership team and this church, you, turn to someone next to you and say, you're so special. Wow. You start realizing, oh, I'm talking about individually in our weakness, God's power is made. I'm also talking about corporately. In our weakness, the power of God will be most put on display. Church, you're about to go into a season of some of the most radical displays of God's power.
Yeah, come on.
And I prophesy that Newman Church and the locations are going to start going to a season of some of God's greatest displays of power. And 2024 to 2025 is going to be just what was prophesied a year ago. I'm taking a guess on this. It's going to be an outpouring and a second wave. An outpouring and a second wave. Turn to someone next to you and say, I love to serve. I'm going to end on this story and then we're going to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want you to just get ready. But even as you're ready, I want you to close your eyes right now. I've shared stories. I've shared a piece of my life. I've broken it off. I've shared the gospel of a risen Christ, the death, the resurrection. I've shared the story of the Pentecost moments where the Holy Spirit poured out in a weak place upon 120. You know, in Toronto, there was 120 people in the room too when the outpouring started. God doesn't need numbers. He doesn't need greatness and he doesn't need strength. He needs your weakness. And right now you're sitting in your chair, but in you, you have the most precious of gold and silver to give to Jesus. It's your weakness and your pain and your story. You've got the most precious of gold to give to him. This is the offering he died for and he wants most. This is the great exchange from ashes to beauty. This is the great exchange from weakness to power. This is the great exchange from sin to salvation. This is it. This is what he wants. And in your hands of your heart and your story, you have the greatest offering to give him. With your eyes closed, you're already thinking of moments. You're already thinking of things that are stirring in your heart. That's the thing the Holy Spirit is highlighting. If you're part of the leadership team, if you're part of the board, if you're part of the congregation, wherever you're part of, there is something sitting in your hands that God is saying, the very thing that's ringing in your mind and your heart as I've been speaking, that's the thing he wants to give to you. And with that at the forefront of your mind and the forefront of your hands, we're going to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in your weakness, the power of God will touch you. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
I met a man in Hawaii, and I went to a meeting, and it was the most, God said this will be the most important meeting you'll ever be at. I got there was four people there. If you know anything about a preacher, it's often preachers think it's the numbers. Like I've said, it's not. I get there's four people. I start to minister to these four people. They're four conservative pastors. There was no lightning, no thunder, and at the end of it, I shake this man's hand, and he says to me, and I felt the Lord say, you came to the island to meet this man. And so I said to him that, and I gave him my number, and I said, if you ever need anything, I'm going to help you. 2 weeks later, he texted me, and he said, would you do my Christmas service? And I said, yes, I will. I didn't know anything about his church or anything. I jump on a Zoom call with him, and I say, tell me what you want me to do. He said, my church is 23 years old. We have never seen a miracle. We've never seen an infilling of the Holy Spirit. We've never seen the miraculous. We want you to introduce our church to the Holy Spirit, the power of God, and the miraculous. And I was like, yay! And then he said, I want you to do it in 15 minutes. And I laughed just like you laughed. And he was so confused while I was laughing because their ministry times were 5 minutes, no more. And he thought he was being generous with me. So I said, he asked me, what do you need? I said, I need more time. And so I asked them to go away and pray and come back. They came back. They said I could have 20 minutes. I said, I'll take it. I come to the island. The first meeting I had, they'd never done upfront ministry like we're about to do. They'd never had people rush the front to be prayed for. They'd never had upfront ministry before. And he wanted me to train their team on how to do it. And so I said, okay, I'll do that. I started to train them. Minute five, I said, you don't need to know how to put a hand on someone and say, more Jesus. You need an encounter if you're going to give an encounter. I started to pray for people, and they started to be slain in the Holy Spirit. I didn't know it was the very first time they'd ever seen this in their lives before. These people were slain out, falling out in the Spirit of God. The teaching pastor left the room because he was so offended. He came back because the Holy Spirit told him to. People were slain all over the ground. I thought it was a normal meeting. At the end, they said this was the first time we've ever seen that. The next day, they have their Christmas service. They rented out the biggest hall in Hawaii that they could get. And it's pouring with rain, bucketing, bucketing, bucketing with rain. And I'm sitting next to the pastor, and he's on the phone, canceling the petting zoo, canceling the pony rides, and canceling the jumping castle. He had a carnival prepared. And he turns to me, he says, Rich, you'll have some more time. And I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. I got to the service. The pastors were absolutely terrified and so excited. 1,200 people had rocked up. Their largest service they'd had. Everyone brought their aunties, uncles, grandmas, and everyone. It was Christmas service in an evangelical church. They were putting on their Sunday best, hoping that people would come back next week. But this was the week they were introducing them to the Holy Spirit with the crazy guy from the crazy church. Wow. Let me tell you, that's a bad idea. But God loves it, eh? He loves bad marketing plans. And I get up there and I start to share for 10, 15 minutes about the stories of God miraculously healing people of cancer and tumors falling off their bodies and healing people from 16 incurable diseases, couldn't run for 20 years, braces all over their bodies. And I start to pray for the first person in the crowd and they get filled with the Holy Spirit, weeping, shaking. The whole auditorium goes, because they'd never seen it before. And then they thought 100 people would rush the front because they'd never had rush the front ministry before. And so I asked, if you want a touch from God, a miracle in your body, I would love if you rushed the front. And 700 people rushed the front. And for the next 4 hours, the Holy Spirit poured out in that place. Tumors dissolved, people got miraculously healed, cancer, people got filled with the Spirit. And for 4 hours, the team was laying hands as bodies were everywhere. It was the first time they'd seen miracles in their church. It was the first time they'd ever had anything like that. Fast forward, this was last, not this December, the December last. Fast forward, that church now sees miracles every single Sunday. Let me tell you, I'm good. I'm just not that good. But God, in my weakness, got me to go to a meeting with 4 people and shake a man's hand. I want you to think of the weakness that's presented before you. God wants to touch you in that place. And he wants you to be baptized again with the Holy Spirit and with power. But not from a place of strength, but from a place of weakness. So that no one can boast, but we can boast in Jesus. If you don't know Jesus here today, today you will see signs and wonders put on display as the power of God is put on display. And just like in John 4:48, they say, unless you see signs and wonders, how will you believe? I believe that as you see the power of God touch people, you'll leave this auditorium and you will have to make a decision. Do I believe or do I not believe? And only you can make home with your maker. Everyone with their hands open right now. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the fire of God that would rest upon this place. I thank you for every person in their seats, sitting in a place of weakness. God, I thank you that you would pour a fire out upon them. God, as I even ask people to respond in a second, I thank you, Jesus, that you love to confirm your word with signs and wonders. And God, I ask that people would be radically touched in the power of the Holy Spirit today. In our weakness, your grace is sufficient and your power is made perfect. Let me tell you, there is nothing that could separate you from the love of God. There is nothing that will separate you from a pursuing God. There is no strength that qualifies you. There is weakness that opens the door for you. If you would like a touch from the Holy Spirit and you are saying, God, I'm hungry for an outpouring, I want you to stand to your feet as quickly as you can. And Holy Spirit, and if I could get some keys with me too. Holy Spirit, I pray right now in Numa Church, that you would fill this place with your fire, that the fire of God would rest upon hands and rest upon hearts. Where you said John baptized with water, but Jesus would come to baptize with fire. I ask the fire of God would rest upon a people. And God, you would pour out your anointing and your glory resting upon those. God, I ask that your fire would rest on them right now. And if you sense the fire of God on you in a significant way, I want you to rush the front as quickly as you can. As quickly as you can, I want you to start coming. Holy Spirit, I ask that your fire would rest upon man, that you would do a sign and a wonder, that you would mark grannies and you would mark grandpas and you would mark fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. The fire of God would come upon them. And if you're part of our ministry team, I want you to come quickly and help me. And even as these people are coming forward, as they come forward trembling under the Holy Spirit, someone behind this lady over here, very quickly, quickly, quickly. Fire on this prophet in Jesus' name. Fire on the prophet in Jesus' name. Fire of God. Catch him, catch him, catch him. The fire of God on this man in Jesus' name. The fire of God. The fire of God. And if you need a touch in your body, if you need a miracle in your body, or if you're hungry for a touch from Jesus, I want you to start coming to the front. You don't need a man of God to lay a hand on you, because the God of man is here. The God of man wants to pour himself out. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would heal bodies, that you would miraculously heal people from cancer, incurable diseases. Oh, Holy Spirit, pour out your fire upon man. Pour out your glory upon a people, God. Pour out your fire upon people. Miraculous healings across this place. Fire of God. 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 And from a weak place, your power is made perfect, God. From a weak place, your power is made perfect. Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm going to keep praying for people, but I know some of you will need to go in a moment. But I want to charge you on Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost did not come and go. Pentecost came and stayed. The Holy Spirit did not come for a visit. He came for a habitation. I want you to make a door swing wide open for the Holy Ghost and your family. And if there is a moment of weakness that God has highlighted, I want to challenge you by the end of the week, by the end of the week, if not the end of the day, I want you to grab someone and find someone and say, I need to tell you this. I've been holding it in for weeks, for months. I grab them and tell them. A door will swing wide and the King of Glory will come in. If you could do that with me, that would just be the greatest privilege. I'm not looking for church games. I'm looking for transformed lives. Religion will reform a man, but the Spirit will literally transform a man. Holy Spirit, in their weakness, would you fill them, God?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.